Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
Evil men arrested him. Evil men nailed him to that tree. And God used evil to bring about the greatest work there ever is. And that's the ultimate. Now, what is God going to do through evil in our lives? How is God going to use evil? I'm not claiming I've got all the answers to how God uses evil, by the way.
History shows us that even evil cannot stop the mighty hand of God and His sovereignty. As Joseph reminds us in Genesis chapter 50, God takes what the enemy meant for evil and turns it for good. With more on what happens to Satan in the future as we study the millennial kingdom in Revelation 20 verses 1 through 3, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
The road to getting back to perfection, which God wants for us, is living for Him now, beginning to live for Him, being born again and going down that road, and we're sanctified and we begin to do the things God wants us to do, and that's the evidence that we're saved, and then we're finally like Him. We don't know what we will be, the Bible says, but we know one day we will be like Him. When we see Him, we will be like Him. So when you make a decision to follow Christ, you lead to perfection. When you make a decision to live away from Christ, you start a road down to further evil. Just like there's more perfection coming for Christians, there's more evil that's coming for those who do not believe. And C.S. Lewis probably is the best writer on what happens to the heart of a man once he chooses to reject God and starts going down that road. And he takes it all the way into hell. And that a person who is in hell doesn't want to be in heaven. He hasn't repented from hating God. He hates him even more, has even more venom on him, has become even more evil as he has rejected God and heads down that road. Now, God created Satan, not evil, but a world with evil in it God did create. God didn't have to do that. And so we do wonder, why would God create him? Now, some say, if God is good, then why is there evil? Right? And this has been an argument in debates by atheists for a lot of years. When an atheist debates an apologist, or when they debate a scholar, they'll bring up, and they would in the past, they've abandoned it, I'll tell you why, but they've abandoned it. If God is good, then why is there evil is the question that they have. And they think having evil in the world is evidence that there is no God. Because if there was a good God, there wouldn't be evil. But here's the problem. It's actually evidence for God. When you start to question them about where they get evil from. If you are an atheist, then how do you determine what's evil? They don't believe there's any morality. Everything is morally relative. You can't push your morals on me, man. You're right? I'm an atheist. I don't believe in that. And so if you generally are an atheist, there is no good and bad. If there is no God, there ultimately is not good and bad. And so the argument comes back around to God. As Frank Turek says, they're borrowing from God to make their point about evil. So the simple question in a debate is to go, well, how do you know what's evil? What makes something evil and something else evil? These are questions they don't want to answer, because ultimately it's going to bring you back to a moral law. And if you have a moral law, you have a moral lawgiver, and that lawgiver is God. So it brings around evidence of God. And so that's why when you watch a debate between an atheist and a scholar today, they are not going to bring up this moral question. They're not going to bring up any moral question, because all you've got to do is go, well, why do you think it's wrong? How do we know it's wrong? How do we know it's right or wrong if there's no God? There has to be a God for us to be able to know that something is right or wrong. Now, God created Satan knowing that he would become evil, because God has a purpose for evil. Somehow, we have to disconnect our emotions from this, because we know many people who have suffered because of evil. And this world is a horrible place because of evil. God isn't doing it, but God created man and allowed them to rebel and do the evil. And Satan, these demonic spirits, are allowed to do evil. And their capacity is greater than ours to do evil. But God has a purpose in it. When someone says, if God is good, then why is there evil? It has an assumption. The assumption is there's no purpose for suffering. There's no purpose for evil. There's no purpose for Satan. But God has a purpose for everything. In fact, in Romans 8:28, and you guys know this passage well, it says, all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say God creates all things for the good. It says all things work out for the good. The evil that is done, not by God, but by one that God created, God can turn around and use that for good. In the book of Genesis, when Joseph is with his brothers after they sold him into slavery, they were jealous of him, sold him into slavery. That was evil. Then he's sold to Potiphar, who is the commander of the army of Pharaoh, and Potiphar's wife accuses him of rape, tries to sleep with him when he won't do it, accuses him of rape, and that was evil. They threw him in prison unjustly, and they put him in fetters or chains, and they crippled his, or they hurt his feet, which many believe means to cripple them, and that was evil. And then he had this gift of being able to tell dreams. He could interpret dreams. And so he did it for the baker and the butler of Pharaoh. One of them was killed and one of them was saved. And a little bit later on, the butler or the baker, whichever one it was, hears that Pharaoh had a dream and is troubled over the dream. And so he goes to him and says, I remember when I was bad and had offended Pharaoh and I was in prison and there was a man there who could interpret dreams. They go and get Joseph. He tells Joseph, I had a dream, a fat cow and a skinny cow. And then Joseph tells him the fat cow is 7 fat years and the lean cow is 7 lean years. And if you put away money for the 7 fat years, then you'll be able to help everyone around you in the 7 lean years and you won't be destroyed by it. And so then he takes Joseph out of prison, lifts him up to second in command and puts him over this project. Joseph collects all of the money that he can collect. Everything becomes Pharaoh's is what it says. And then in the 7 lean years, he hands it back out to those who are in need. And he gets them through the 7 lean years. And he saves people because of it. Now his brothers, when his dad died, they're finally reunited. His brothers, when their dad dies, come to him and say, we're a little worried. I'm paraphrasing. Dad's dead and you might, you know, think about what we did to you. And here's what Joseph says to them. This is Genesis 50:20. But as for you, you meant it for evil against me. But God meant it for good in order to bring about as it is this day and save many people alive. Joseph says all those evil things God meant for good. There it is. God uses evil for his own purposes. The cross is the greatest example of this. What is the greatest work that's ever been done for all of mankind? The sacrifice of Jesus, laying his life down on the cross, but evil men arrested him. Evil men nailed him to that tree. And God used evil to bring about the greatest work there ever is. And that's the ultimate. Now, what is God going to do through evil in our lives? How is God going to use evil? I'm not claiming I've got all the answers to how God uses evil, by the way. The secret things belong to God. And I don't know that he's shared everything, but I have some ideas. One of the reasons there is evil is that God has given us free will. God wanted to be able to give us free will because he didn't want to make robots. If he made us to have to love him, then what would that mean? If you had a doll that when you pull the string, it says, I love you, are you like, oh, how sweet. Listen, I love you. Look, listen, that's sweet. No, it's pre-programmed to do that. And if you were pre-programmed to love God, how would that be real love? And I love Frank Turek's point on this. He says, ladies, if you had a man who was following you, telling you that he loved you and that you were gonna love him and he was gonna make you love him, what would you do? It's the same answer all the time, right? Run, get as far away from him as I can. Because you don't want to be forced to love a man. You want to make a decision to love that person. And God didn't want to force us to love him. God didn't want to force Satan to love him. And so God gave Satan free will so that he could turn and walk away from him. It's one of the reasons that I struggle with the once saved, always saved position. I've told you before, I'm unsettled on that subject. It seems like the Bible teaches it and it seems like it doesn't. I'm genuinely saved. Has God taken away my freedom? Do I have no longer free choice? Can I walk away from God now? Or has that freedom been taken away from me? That's one of the reasons I struggle with it and have to have it as a shelf. I have a shelf in my mind for further information. The once saved, always saved issue is one of them. And I say I lean towards once saved, always saved. But it's more like this kind of lean, this way, this way, this way, this way. But Satan was given free will as well. Because remember, the angels are called the sons of God. God loves them. And he wants to be loved by them. And he wants the loyalty from the ministering angels, not because he made them to do it like an inanimate object, but that they would have their own will and their own choice. And so when Satan did it, he moved away from good and he became evil, because that's the only option. There had to be a very real option. And going to evil when you turn away from God is something that you like. Evil is a temptation to every one of us. We are tempted by things that are evil for all of us. That doesn't mean that one person's as evil as another person, because everybody's different, but it does mean that it's a temptation for all of us. And so we leave God and we head down that evil road, which we're already evil because we were born with a sin nature. Now, another reason is that God has a purpose for evil. And another reason, having evil in the world creates a world where more people can turn to God. If there was no evil in the world, and there was no suffering in the world, if there was any hardships or difficulties, would you be following Jesus? I don't know, maybe. I know a lot of people wouldn't be, because a lot of people came to Jesus because of hardships in their lives. That's me. My dad died in April, the year I was born again. I gave my life to Christ in June. When I came back to the Lord, God took everything away from me. God took everything away from me. So I had nothing to do but look back to him. Now, God came and got me. And if somebody can lose their salvation, back to that one again, if somebody can lose their salvation, it's going to be very few and very hard to do, because God comes after you. I'll leave the 99 and I will go after the one. And God did that to me. But I know a lot of people who, because of evil in their own lives, they looked in the mirror and they saw the evil that they were. And so they came to Christ. And a lot of people who have had evil things happen to them, and because of the need and the desire, they end up coming to Christ. And so the world that we have that is made may very well be the best world that could be created for the maximum number of people to go into eternity with Christ. If we had a world without evil, if it was a perfect world without any struggles or without any difficulties, then there'd be far less people that would have come to Christ. We're living perhaps in that best world. Now let's get back to Satan. Being evil, God has a purpose for him. That's why he created him, knowing that he would fall, because he has a purpose for evil. I'm not sure I know what all the purposes are that God has, but like Judas played a role in the sacrifice of Jesus, Satan plays a role in the world today. He represents an alternative to God. You have God and good on one side. You have Satan and evil on the other. They are not the opposite, but it's the good and the evil that are opposite. And it's an alternative. You can live for God or you can live for evil. And a lot of people choose the evil. Men love evil and darkness. Jesus said they do the evil, do their deeds in darkness, because they love it. Men love it. And so they're drawn to it. As I said, it's a temptation. He also provides a contrast of the goodness of God. So the great evil that Satan is provides how good God is on the other side. You just oppose those two positions and you see it even clearer how good God is. He also provides an example of what evil can become and maybe be used as a deterrent in our lives. Maybe God allowing Satan to fall and become the evil that he has become, not doing it, but allowing it, maybe that causes us to look at pure evil in Satan and go, I don't want that in my life. Maybe it saved people from going down that evil road because there's an example of what evil is really like, and it is Satan. So those are just a few reasons that I believe of the purposes that God has for him. Now, there has been 1,000 years and there's been no Satan. Men still have the sin nature and they have an evil heart, and Jesus rules them from Jerusalem for 1,000 years of peace with the rod of iron. Now, why does he have to use a rod of iron? because they still have a sin nature. And when Jesus is ruling and reigning, he doesn't put up with any nonsense. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's reigning over the world, and he takes care of things, and he keeps people in line. He doesn't let them get licentious. He won't let them. So for 1,000 years, they've been having to toe the line. And now they have to be given a choice to choose to love God or to love the world or to love evil. They have to have the same choice that you and I have. We have the freedom to choose. They have to have the freedom to choose. And they have to have the freedom to choose with Satan in it like us. And so he is released one more time to be used by God for his reasons. The tempter is released to provide an alternative to God. Because evil is a temptation, men can embrace it and love it, and they will. God will also bring out of this final time a deception from the devil. The devil is going to go out and deceive, and he's good at deceiving. He is also a living analogy or an example of God. Now, these are the reasons why I believe that God is going to let Satan back out again, because it's absolutely necessary for the world that we're living in. And God has his reasons for what they are, and we trust him. That like Joseph, even though evil has happened to us, that God means it for good, and God's going to bring it about. So three things in closing. Number one, Satan's fall and embracing of evil is like the fall of mankind and our embracing of evil. We both wanted to be like God. We both fell, and we both took a turn towards evil. And then God calls us back. But as far as I know, they can't go back. We become more and more evil. He is evil. Number two, the choice to love God or love this world had to be a real choice. You couldn't have something that didn't appeal to men if it was a real choice. If the choice was, you get to choose ice cream or ice cream, doesn't mean anything. If you get to choose God here or choose God here, it wouldn't mean anything. You had to be able to choose God or choose something that appealed to your flesh. And that's the darkness. That's the wickedness. That's the evil. It's a very real choice. And men make the decision all the time. Knowing what we know about the world, Satan, and evil, what is your choice going to be? Have you chosen to follow him, to live for him? Will you endure to the end? Living your life for him. And if you're here tonight, you don't know him. Would you say, I'm ready to give my life to him. I'm ready to live for him. I want to live for him. The answer to the question, if God is good, why is there evil? Is because God is doing things through the evil. Now that becomes an emotional question. When people ask it, they ask it with emotional questions. Some evil, horrible thing that happened to a child. You got to be able to put that emotion aside to be able to see clearly what God's doing in the world that we are living in, and that this is the best world that there can be for people getting saved. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you for the time that we're able to spend here today looking at Satan and his being bound and then being let back out again and then being taken care of. And Lord, we pray that you would help us, that we would make good decisions. We know if we sow to the flesh, from the flesh we'll reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, from the Spirit we will reap life. And we pray that you would help us, that we would make good, solid decisions. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. But if you're here today and you've never invited Christ into your life, the Bible says, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. Now, this means you have the power over the door of your life, and you can open it up to let him in. He's not going to force his way in. He's not going to say, you're going to become a believer. He's waiting for you to say, come into my life. He's waiting for that invitation. He's standing at the door and knocking, and if you open the door, then he will come in. This means you're going to be a disciple, like Peter, James, and John, who left their nets and followed him. You will now have a life change and you will follow him. It means that you become a follower of Jesus. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for your life. It means ultimately you will get to perfection. God has predestined for all who have faith in him that we would be holy and pure. For the Christians that are here, God's predestined you to be holy and pure. Isn't that awesome? We talk about looking in the mirror and seeing evil. We talk about the struggle that we have with temptation and with evil. But one day that won't be anymore. Robert Furrow will be perfect. You go, oh, it'll be good because he's not now. Amen. So one day you could be perfect too. You could be predestined to be perfect if you want to give your life to him. Now I'm going to ask you to do something bold if you want to give your life to him. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, to lift it up and say, I'm ready. I'm done living for myself and I'm ready to live for him. Lift up your hand now. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. God bless you and God bless you, ma'am. That's great. God bless you, sir. That's awesome. And God bless you there in the back. That's great. And God bless you there as well, both of you. And God bless you right here in the front. And God bless you back here. That's great. God's got a plan for you guys. As you're raising your hand, know that God's got a plan for you to walk in. God bless you back over by the sound booth. That's great. And God bless you, sir, right by the aisle. Anyone else? Maybe you made a commitment to Christ a while ago, but you walked away and you never followed through. Or maybe you only followed through for a while. You know you need to make it right. I'll scan the room one more time. God bless you. Ma'am, that's awesome. That's great. God's got a plan. All right, you can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hand, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin separates me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin. I want to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting. Really is. Now, God's got a plan and he's got a purpose for you. There's a new believer's table that's out here in the foyer. We've got a Bible. And we've got a new believer's packet for you. You think, well, I'm just going to go ahead and do this without going there. You can, certainly. We're not going to make you, right? But I want you to come out of the starting blocks running well. Some people don't start the Christian race all that well. They start the starting blocks. They come out and their hands are flailing. Their legs are flying around. They're barely on their feet. Maybe they stumble and get up and start running again. We don't want you to look like that. We want you coming out of the starting blocks just swift and tight and just, you know, 100-meter dash. There you are. So we've got some things prepared for you to help you run the Christian race in the beginning in an effective way. So we've got a new believers team. These guys are great. Stop by the table there. See them. Pray with them. They'll give you those things. Really important that you have that good, solid start.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.